We're in John chapter 18. We'll be looking at verses 28 through 38. Peter has just denied Jesus three times. And Jesus told Peter that he would do this. And he said, not only you, Peter, but all the disciples. And in Matthew 28, Jesus tells us his disciples that they will all be made to stumble. Be made to stumble because of their identifying themselves as disciples of Jesus. But Peter, he speaks up and he tells Jesus, and he tells the other disciples, not me. I will never be made to stumble. But Peter's denial, it's necessary in his life. Peter needs to see how weak and how vulnerable his flesh is. But Jesus proceeds to tell Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times, Peter. But Peter, he's lifted up in pride without realizing it, I'm sure. And he's arrogant about all this. And he tells Jesus, you're wrong about me, Jesus. I'm strong. I'm strong in my allegiance to you. And in this time of pride for Peter, he is of absolutely no use to his Lord. Pride forbids us from serving the Lord. Therefore, Peter, he has to see. He's got to come to grips with the fact that his flesh can be so weak. Peter, he even rebukes Jesus. And there, when they come to arrest Jesus, he pulls out a sword and he severs the ear off of the high priest's servant, Malchus. Jesus, this is his last physical miracle here on earth. He saves the life of Peter by picking up this severed ear and putting it back on the head of Malchus. That would have been something to behold, by the way. Because Peter would have been crucified along with Jesus and the two thieves because of his attempted murder. He's attempted to kill Malchus, but he just missed a little and got the ear. But as Jesus is arrested, Peter and John follow Jesus from afar. And they follow Jesus right into the courtyard of Annas, who has the power of the high priest, along with his son-in-law, Caiaphas. And Peter, there he's accused of being one of Jesus' disciples. And he's accused by the lowest of servants, a little servant girl, and Peter denies knowing Jesus. But right in the middle of Peter's third denial, a rooster crows. And then Peter and Jesus, their eyes lock up. They look at each other. And Peter then remembers Jesus' words. Peter has a response. He goes out and he weeps bitterly. And he weeps because he thought he was so strong, and he finds out that he's so weak. So let's read further about the trial of Jesus, and that's in verse 28 through 35 in chapter 18. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" These religious leaders, they have taken Jesus from Caiaphas, the acting high priest, the son-in-law of Annas, and they bring Jesus to the judgment seat of Rome, the praetorium. And that is Gentile area, Gentile grounds. And the Jews will not go into this area lest they be defiled. There's a real irony here. They will not go into Gentile areas, homes or buildings of any sort, lest they be defiled. But what's in their heart? Their heart is full of murder. They're wanting to kill Jesus, but they do not want to defile themselves where they walk. Now that's irony. So Pilate, he goes out to the Jews and he's asking them, "What do you accuse this man of?" The Jews respond, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have brought him before you." They're putting the pressure on Pilate right from the get-go. "This man is an evildoer. We want to kill him, but we can't kill him because you've removed that authority from us Jews." But Pilate, he does not want to judge Jesus. So he tells them, "You take him, you judge him." And the Jews say, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This shows their intent. They're wanting Jesus dead. So Pilate, he calls for Jesus again and asks, "Are you king of the Jews?" And now that's a sort of peculiar question that he would ask. But Pilate is trying to get down to the basics. He's wanting to find out what motivates these Jewish leaders to bring Jesus before him. And Jesus has an answer for Pilate. "Are you asking for yourselves, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate, he's procurator. He's the ruler of Rome over Jerusalem, over the Jews. Now, just a little note on Pilate. He was a former slave. And through marriage and through political maneuvering, he has gained this position of procurator of Jerusalem. But Pilate, he is on shaky ground with Rome. Pilate has done a couple things that have brought Rome's attention to him. And Pilate's first offense was he came to Jerusalem with Roman soldiers who carried busts of the image of the emperor on their little shields. And the Jews, they look upon this as idols. And a Jewish riot breaks out because of these idols being brought into the temple area, into Jerusalem. That was Pilate's first offense. His second offense, he's wanting to do a good service for the Jews. He's wanting to appease them. And he builds an aqueduct system for Jerusalem. But he makes one grave mistake there. he takes money from the temple to fund this building project. And this, of course, infuriates the Jews, who again run to Rome with a serious complaint against Pilate. And Pilate is reprimanded. But Pilate, he's now in danger of being removed as procurator. He knows that Rome and these Jews for sure don't want him, and he knows Rome is looking at him carefully. So Pilate, he's walking a tightrope. He hates the Jews, but he's fearful for his own political position. So Pilate, very familiar with how the political system works, he's being very careful with Jesus. Here, in particular, at Passover time, when Jerusalem is a hotbed for trouble, Pilate wants no trouble from the Jewish leaders. He doesn't even want a bad report from the Jewish leaders to go back to Rome. But in verse 31, the Jews are in distress because they cannot use capital punishment in their courts. This was a real stickler for the Jews, because many of their leaders mourn and they actually charge God with failing them. Failing them because they now do not have the power to execute. And so the Jewish leaders, the rabbis and so forth, are finding fault with God. For way back in the book of Genesis, there was a promise given to the Jews. This scepter, this ruling authority, would not depart from them until Messiah came. But Messiah has come, and Messiah is right there before them. But they're simply ignorant of the fact that Jesus is Messiah. Now, this authority to execute has only been in place for 2 years. It's a new edict from Rome that they cannot use capital punishment in their ruling system. And the loss of power to judge and condemn really bothers them. But it's very fresh in their minds, especially the ruling Jews. Pilate, he has an answer for Jesus. And he says to Jesus, "Am I a Jew? I'm not familiar with all your religious customs and laws and so forth. Your own Jewish high priests have brought you here, delivered you to me." So he says to Jesus, "What have you done?" And the answer is in John 36 through 38, chapter 18. And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault with him at all." Pilate wants to know, "What have you done, Jesus?" And Jesus responded, "My kingdom, you accuse me of being the king, is not of this world. I am of no threat to Rome. For my kingdom is not from here, not an earthly kingdom." But Pilate, he answers Jesus with, "So you are a king?" And he says, "You're right, Pilate, I am a king. For this cause I have come into the world." We have Jesus here declaring why he came. "For this cause I have come into the world, and my mission, Pilate, I am to bear witness of the truth." and all who hear the truth hear my voice. All of us, everyone, no matter where or when, who really want to know the truth, hear the voice of Jesus. You and I, we have responded to the voice of our Lord. But this answer by Jesus, it's addressed to all of mankind, including Pilate. It's addressed to the ruling Jews who are watching this whole proceeding. It's addressed to today's modern man, and it's addressed to you and I. If any person is truly seeking the truth, Jesus says, you're going to hear me. Read chapter 1 of Romans sometime. God declares he has made himself known to every person who comes into this world. Every person. So how about the people that have been born into a Christless religion, where their religions and beliefs deny Christ as God? Jesus has made the truth of himself known to them and will judge them according to that truth. But Pilate, he has a question for Jesus, and it's probably a typical question. What is truth? In today's world, we have so many different religions, and we have so many different people groups who look away from Jesus as God. It's okay if you believe in God, just don't make Jesus God. In their minds and in their thoughts, Jesus being a Savior, Jesus being the giver of salvation and life, it's not even logical that one man 2,000 years ago would die and that would suffice for our salvation. To that person or religion, Jesus says, everyone, that's an all-inclusive statement, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The Holy Spirit, sent by God, makes known the truth of Jesus to every person who seeks the truth. He says, I won't leave you there. And we know that many Muslims in today's world are having dreams about Jesus. And it's kind of fascinating that Jesus would even use dreams to reach some of these different religious groups. But for the people like Pilate, and Pilate is given by God the duty to judge truth that stands before him. Here is the epitome of truth, and it's in Jesus, and Pilate has been given the task of judging truth. So Pilate, he asked very pointedly, what is truth? And Pilate, he can't avoid this position that he has. He's been placed there by Rome. The Jewish leaders are looking at him. They don't have the authority or power to condemn or kill Jesus. And what many of us would call fate, Pilate finds himself right there. It's his responsibility as Rome's authority to rule what is truth. There is another passage in one of the other Gospels that Pilate tells Jesus, you should not be silent, you should answer me. Don't be silent, for I have the power to judge you. I have the power to release you, give you life, or sentence you to death. Jesus has a word for Pilate. You would have no power at all. unless it was given to you from above. And Pilate, he marvels that first Jesus is silent and that Jesus doesn't answer him. So Pilate is forced to resolve the question of truth. He wants to release Jesus, but the circumstances that he's put in forces Pilate to judge truth. And the truth of Jesus stands before him. I think, without a question, that we're all come to a place where we have to judge what is truth. In and of ourselves, not what mom and dad believe, not what Calvary Chapel believes, but what do I believe about Jesus in truth? But if you have responded to Jesus, rejoice in the fact that he gives you truth. And there's so many vain philosophies of man. There's so many theories out there, and that there's so many ways to approach God, to have a relationship with God. All you got to do is just be sincere in your beliefs, and you will be okay. Really? Really? You're gonna go that way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There was a teacher that came to Jesus at night, the esteemed teacher of Israel. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. There's some truth. There must be a complete change in your life by believing in me and trusting in me. You got to change. It's that simple. And a person's belief in Jesus has to have substance. It must take root. But how do you tell when somebody believes or doesn't believe? We can't, but Jesus can. Jesus sees and he knows each and every heart, and he knows how we deal with the truth of himself. So my prayer, my hope, that I'll be able to perhaps persuade someone somewhere along my life's journey the truth of Jesus. The truth of Jesus. And I hope it's your prayer too. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer.